Hey gang, are you a musician here in Austin? You're finding it difficult to navigate these tricky waters? Well, let me tell you about an excellent resource for you. It's called the Austin Music Foundation. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit whose mission is to strengthen and connect Austin's music community with innovative programs that empower music professionals and Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to succeed in the Austin music industry. Simply go to austinmusicfoundation.org and get involved.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, I'm Howdy.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny. I am your host. Welcome to another episode of How Did I Get Here? A show where I sit down and I talk to another musician about being a musician. I myself am a musician. They usually come to my apartment, we sit down and we have these long conversations. I'm saying that because today I've got a guest on that I don't know if the people that are coming to the show from listening to her know about this show or have ever heard the show or know anything about it, but I'm explaining what you're about to get yourself into. A conversation with a very talented and lovely person named Arielle Leggett. A couple weeks ago, I went out to go see my friend Jamie Harris play. She plays every Thursday at the 1-to-1 bar here in Austin. I think her show starts about 8. She handpicks an opener and she has them play before her. And so I got there early and this lovely young lady went on stage with just a ukulele, armed with just a ukulele, and a lovely voice that transported me to another place and time for some reason. She transported me to another place and time when she played, and that place made me happy. So when she was done playing, I went up to her. I was like, hey, you want to come over and do the show? She's like, yes. So thanks, Jamie, for introducing me to the lovely Arielle Leggett. She came over. We had a great conversation. I've been listening to her EP, which came out in January. It's absolutely fantastic. It was recorded at the Orb. She's a great songwriter. She's a great singer. She comes from a theater background. She was even Rizzo in Grease. We have a great conversation about that. And she continues to do acting stuff. She is a part of the cast of the weekly improv show, The Megaphone Show, that takes place Saturday nights at 10 p.m. at the New Movement Theater here in Austin. So enjoy my conversation with this lovely and talented woman, Arielle Leggett, in just a minute. First, before we get to that, let me tell you what's going on with me. I had a great week last week. I didn't get to talk about this, but I did get to go see Gary Clark, one of Gary Clark Jr.'s solo shows last week at the Paramount Theater. It was absolutely inspiring. It made me come home and practice, which is always the best thing when you go see someone play. Someone like Gary makes you go home and practice guitar anyway. It's a fantastic show. My friends Jenny and Jessica, Eric Tesmer, I went with them. We had a great time. Then the next night, Wednesday night, I moderated a panel for the Austin Music Foundation. We talked about touring, tour managing, and tour planning. That was a good panel. Met some nice people. We all had a great time on the panel. I always have a good time sitting on the panel with my friend Einar. He's such a great guy and an inspiration to be around. Fun guy to be around. Always laugh. We're always scheming. We're always working on something. So it's nice to be there with Einar in that situation. Then Friday I went with Skyrocket to San Antonio to play the Texas Utility Engineering holiday party, which is very different than the normal holiday parties we play, which are usually held in ballrooms of fancy hotels. They're totally decorated. Everything's, you know, done to the T. They have some crazy catering thing. Not this one, baby. This was the real deal. This was at like the Fireman's Banquet Hall or something like that, like from the 60s. Just this old white wall, white ceiling, fluorescent lighting room, giant room with a stage at the end. And they lowered those lights, and those guys had a blast. We had a blast. We had a great time playing. And then we went back to San Antonio on Saturday and played at Sam's. Always a good time at Sam's. Very energetic crowd, very energetic audience, fun time. People's birthdays, people singing along, people having a good time. And let me tell you, Christmas is coming up, and I have two presents bought. So I got to get my shit together. I think after I do this, I got to sit down and make a list and really, you know, check it twice, if you know what I'm saying, a la Santa Claus. I hope that all of you are having a great week. I hope you had a great weekend. I'll tell you who had a great weekend is Arielle Laguette. I saw photos on her Instagram of her hanging out in London, in England, having a great time. I know that now she's going to France to hang out with family and party down. She's there with a friend. She's going to like the Harry Potter things. Yes, that's right, Arielle Laguette. I'm following you on Instagram. And you too can follow her on Instagram. Just go to ArielleLaguette.com and it has links to all of her things there. All right? Enjoy my conversation with this extremely talented and interesting woman, Arielle Laguette. Have a great week, whatever it is that you're doing. Let's get down.
Shouldn't I be happy? 'Cause I am not. Could you make me happy? 'Cause I forgot the way love feels and the way it gets me.
Covers one show at a time that's airing currently. So they did Game of Thrones last season, and then they just wrapped up the Westworld.
Oh, that's what I saw that on your Facebook page. But I thought you were just really into it.
Oh no!
And I was going to ask you that, but see, but you were on. You're so okay. So it's like Talking Dead or something.
Yeah, you know, I guess in a way. Yeah. Like the kind of post-mortem, like after the show. Yeah.
How was it? So do you watch it? Are you into it?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really into it. It's kind of, though, more of like an in-between show until Game of Thrones comes back.
Really?
Admittedly. Well, yes and no. I love it. I definitely think it stands on its own, no doubt. But I just love Game of Thrones. And it was the first season of something that, like, you had no idea what it was about. And then now the season finale finally tied up some loose ends, but, like, left it all to the very end. So I was like confused until last night, pretty much.
I got behind.
Yeah.
Like a few. I got behind and I need to get it together. Yeah.
Yeah, get it together, John.
Sorry, I'm trying to. Yeah, so what is a show like that? What you guys just talk about the show?
Yeah. It was super fun. Well, we all watched it together.
Oh, and then, that's cool.
Yeah. And then immediately after, they just have one guest on. But last night, since it was the finale, they had three of us. So right. It was like a five-person round table because there's two hosts and all people that I know well. You know, one of the hosts is part of the main cast of the improv show I do weekly. And so we're close.
The Megaphone Show. Is that Mondays?
Saturdays.
Saturdays.
Saturdays okay. At 10:30, yeah.
Okay, I need to change that. Saturdays at 10:30?
Yeah.
And what, tell me just a little bit about that. Or as much as you want about that.
Sure. Well, theater was my first love. I didn't even really get into music till college. So I've always been big into, I guess Avery Moore has that in common as well. Big, like theater kind of nerd. Then I went to school. I was always very like pragmatic about like, well, I have to do something and get a degree in something that will, you know, be financially responsible or whatever. I thought I was going to be a newscaster.
You could do that.
Thank you. Yeah. I get told that a lot, but then I forgot or didn't realize going in, I hate the news industry.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate news media. So that doesn't really like, and I don't have the passion to be like, I'm going to change the world. I don't think for, you know, news specifically. So 2 years in, changed my mind. I did news anchoring for the school I went to. The reason I went because they had a really great like live program every night of the week. So I had a little taste of, you know, teleprompter reading and doing a little, you know, throwovers to weather. And it was so much fun. Like, it was a great time. One of my old co-anchors actually is a news anchor in Austin now.
Really?
So, yeah. Ew. It's fun to see him on stage, on screen. Casey Claiborne.
I don't know.
Yeah. He's on Fox 7. And I got to do the news recently with me and my band.
Oh,
and
on it was the Fox on his 7. Show. Oh, that's cool. So he's on the Fox 7 morning show?
He's not on the morning show. He's more of a news reporter. So he's on the field a lot.
Okay.
And does a lot of, he did like, I don't know. He does a lot of like music and art stuff too, but usually just like on the field at events, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, back to
theater.
Wait,
where did you live? Where were you grown up? Where were you grown up?
Who
girl,
are you?
Come on, tell me. That's my podcast. Where were you grown up?
Austin.
Really?
For the latter half of my adolescence. So I was born in Houston, moved almost immediately to California, but then spent 11 years in California. And then when I was in middle school, moved
what
to Austin.
California?
Southern. What California?
No, but there's different Californias.
I know. Southern. Okay. Anaheim Hills. So it's like Orange County.
Do you remember it? Did you like it?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I feel like I have a worse memory of my childhood than most people. And I think that's because half of it was like, it just changed drastically of like surroundings, friendships, like communities. Like, because I just switched off when I was like 11 or 12 years old. So then I just like created a whole new group of friends. So I feel like I left behind, not that I don't have a memory of my childhood, but you know, pre-12 years old.
No, I know what you mean.
Oh, okay.
No, go. Yeah. Pre-12 years old, you had to.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but it was beautiful. I remember like went to Disneyland a lot. That was
that's pretty cool.
Great way to spend. My mom would like pick us up from school some days and be like, want to go to Disneyland?
There's like something Disney about you. Is that, has someone?
I've heard that.
So the other night when I was watching you, I was like, this, it's just, it was, you're an odd, and I mean this in the best way possible. You're an odd one.
Thank you.
And when you're just at a bar, we came from another place. I'd been drinking, and these guys were like, oh, let's do shots and all this stuff. And what's that band? Tahoma?
Yeah.
Do you know those guys?
The
girl from that band was like, doesn't she remind you of...
she's great.
Of Liza Minnelli's mom.
Oh, my gosh.
Judy Garland. And that's when I was
of
like, oh, my God. That's,
love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's the highest compliment.
So, so you moved to Austin? And where did you live here? We're like, what do your parents do? What's
North? My mom has always been a cosmetologist, so she's always done like facials and waxing, and now she does lash extensions. So she's just like an esthetician. Okay. And then my dad has always just been kind of like self-employed, but in a lot of different like avenues that I don't really necessarily know exactly what he does, but it's all. It has to do with sales and like,
it's above the table.
And yeah,
it's not
below the table. Yeah, but they still live up here. They're divorced, but they're still like really good friends, which is cool. And I'm like first generation American.
Oh, where are they from?
My mom is from France, and my dad has family in France, but from Mexico.
What's your last name?
Laguette.
Laguette.
Like baguette, but with an L.
I was saying it wrong today.
That's okay.
I'm not going to tell anyone what I said.
No worries. <Yeah. laughs> Most people do, so.
Do you speak French?
I do.
Oh, man.
Oui, oui. But, like, conversationally, I wouldn't, like, teach a class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you, like, an Edith Piaf person?
I do love Edith Piaf, yeah.
Yeah. See, you have that kind of, like, elegance about you. That's what I mean, that it's weird to go into a bar and see someone that it could be 1943. And you were doing what you were doing because the songs you write are
nice.
Sophisticated.
Thank you.
Quarterly, like almost some felt like standards.
Wow, thank
and
you.
And your Inspiral Carpets cover.
Hell yeah. I'm
that
so
exploded
glad.
Exploded my mind.
Thank you,
that was
Spiral
great.
Staircase.
Staircase, sorry.
No one,
they're,
but
they're
no
something.
One ever knows that band, so thank you. I appreciate it. One hit wonder they are.
Yeah.
My mom always thinks it's a Stevie Wonder song, so she's sorely mistaken.
My aunt Maria loves that song. When she sings it, she says, I love you more today than yesterday, but I'm afraid of tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was correct her. And I'm like, no, it's a different sentiment than that, Aunt Maria.
Yeah, maybe she's just more like a realist. Yeah.
Well, she's also, you know, the thing that people say, that's what she said.
Oh, yeah?
She really loves saying that, but when she says it, it comes out. She said that.
And so,
that's
funny.
It's pretty funny.
That's cute.
She's one of those kind of people. You know what I mean? Like your aunt that doesn't say the right thing.
Yeah, totally.
Never knows the name of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But like swears that she knows and is right the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I got
you
that.
You have an aunt Maria too?
No, well, most of my family, I mean, being, you know, I guess, of
French-Mexican.
Immigrant parents, yeah.
I like that French-Mexican. That's a good combo.
Yeah, my mom, there's a little bit of Italian in there. Uh-huh. And then my dad, there's a little bit of Spanish in there as well, of like two generations ago. But we have never had, I mean, I can count on my like one hand the amount of family members I have in the U.S. And I'm not super, I don't know, we never just really connected on my dad's side of the family, I guess. There's just a lot of people I don't know and never met. Like, there's always just, like, one side of the family that you know better than the other. Right. And that's, like, definitely my mom's side. Like, my cousin actually just visited for the first time, like, visited America for the first time. And it was amazing. She's 23 and she's an artist, photographer. I mean, she's just awesome. And her mind was, like, blown. And she loved Austin. She liked it better than New York. She went to New York for a couple days, too.
Wow.
But yeah, I'll be going there actually next week.
So, right. So yeah. Going to France.
Yes. I'm prefacing that with London.
Okay. Are you playing when you're there?
You know, I do, but it's not like official. My cousin is really close with this guy that works at a French like club out there, like on the port. And so usually I'll go and just like he has like a residency and I'll play like a couple songs and bring my ukulele. But I don't know if I'm planning on doing that this time. I might as well, but because I'm like hopping from, you know, no, you've convinced me. I'm gonna bring my ukulele.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will.
Or just buy one when you're there.
When I'm there, I know.
You don't have to travel.
I know. I could get like a little baby one. I see that on your wall.
Is yours bigger than mine?
Yes. It's a
tenor.
Tenor, yep.
Those are cool looking.
But I do have a Lanikai. I have the same make.
Can I ask you a technical nerd question?
Sure.
Is it a already had a pickup in it one?
It's a Fender, so it's okay. Got a Fender pickup in it.
Sounds real good live.
Thank you. Yeah. I would attest that to my amp as well, which is not like...
Oh, you're running it through an amp as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, if it's direct, either like a preamp or an amp gives it the more like fuller tone that I think when you like listen to ukulele live, you can kind of hear some of the resonance. But like, I think when you just plug it in direct to a PA,
I know exactly what you mean.
It's so just like dry and I hate it. Like sometimes I played like an open mic a couple weeks ago and... Oh, God. The mix just, like, bothered me the whole time. And then it's hard because then I'm listening to myself, but I'm also hearing this just completely unbalanced sound that's not on the same, like, wavelength of what I'm, like, going for and I think what my voice would, like, complement better.
Right.
So, yeah. It's a fine balance. So I appreciate that you thought so.
Yeah. And I also noticed that then when you were recording as well that there was a good room sound on it.
Yeah, it was a nice. I love the recording of it.
Yeah, no. On the
the recording. Yeah,
I saw you recorded at Orb, and I was like, you know what I like about that recording is that it's a real live. Did you guys record it live?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay,
one
great.
Of those. The second song we recorded it once, and we didn't even like do any follow up tracks, which I was like very surprised by.
And if you were in 1943, that's how you'd have to work.
Right. Yeah.
There's no auto tune.
That's what I love. And I mean, granted, I did have incredible musicians with me. And they have been playing with me actually for about a year now, which is really great. So, but they're all like, you know.
They came on and made the record with you and then they've stayed with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We all went to UNT together.
Okay.
The school, University of North Texas.
Yeah, that's the music jam here in
it is. In this, I didn't region. Even go to school for music, but
did
I
you go? Okay, well, wait. Let's get there.
Okay,
let's go back to you come to Austin, second half of adolescence.
You're
living up north.
North Austin, near like below Round Rock.
Below Round Rock, your dad is doing a mystery.
Yes,
sales position.
Pretty much, my dad is an elusive. Career.
Are you an only child?
No, I have an older brother, 3 years.
What, did he introduce you to music?
Technically, yeah. Yeah, I guess so, because he started playing trumpet in middle school and then changed to tuba. And I remember...
It's like a weird instrument family.
I know.
No one played drums or guitars. It's like all like weird instruments.
It was weird instruments. And yeah, my parents aren't necessarily musical. My dad did some like singing when he was younger. My mom's family is very musical, but I can get to that, I guess. But my brother, I remember him like being in marching band and me looking up to him and thinking like, I should do that too. And I remember like almost like playing the tuba as well. and then I chose the trumpet and then we moved to Austin. Like 2 weeks into middle school, it was just like, all right, hey, we're moving to Austin. I was like, oh, okay. So I started like a couple weeks late. Actually, it was end of August 2001. So it was like...
That's when you were in middle school?
Yeah. And that was...
I was already separated like from my wife at that time.
Oh, well.
I was, in fact, crazy. August 2001.
Wow. Well, a lot happened in 2001, especially around that time.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean, I joined the band I'm still in now a couple of months after that.
No way. Wow, that's cool.
That's weird. And you're 26. Yeah. Time is getting...
27.
Time, 27. Now. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, don't... don't miss that extra year. No.
Were you like a kid that grew up wanting to be on Saturday Night Live? Did you have that?
Yeah. But what's funny is like I watched Mad TV more
Okay.
But in my older years, obviously, I kind of switched to SNL. But like, yeah, I think my brother and I used to basically reenact episodes like Mo Collins and Deborah Wilson, like so good. Some actresses that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I loved that. But I never really put much thought to it. I don't know why I grew up thinking the way that I did, very like pragmatically, like, oh, well, that's not a career. Like, well, I wouldn't go for my dream because how could I live off of my dream? And I just like, for some reason that
you thought that it wasn't like someone telling you that?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
I mean, maybe my dad, like growing up, said that I should like go and try and be like a lawyer or like a doctor because like that's how you be successful or whatever. But it wasn't like in response to me being like, but I'm going to be an actress. There wasn't a theater program at the middle school that I was at in California, oddly enough, you'd think California. But then when I moved to Austin, there was a theater program. And so I ditched band. Yeah. So I ditched the trumpet, possible tuba act, and went into theater, and then it just like went on from there. And then high school, I was like heavily involved in that. Didn't sing, wasn't in choir until, didn't really have like a choir, I guess, like introduction until my senior year when we did Grease.
Who were you in Grease?
Rizzo.
Dude, that's so awesome.
Thanks.
You kind of almost look like her too.
Oh, thank you. Stalker Channing. Yeah. That was like for sure... Yeah, like a dream role, I think, you know, at the time.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Sorry not to take you away from this. When I was a kid, that movie came out, and I saw it like 50 times in the theater, right? It was between third and fourth grade. So I was so into it. But that song, "There Are Worse Things I Could Do," it didn't resonate with me. And at first, I remember like Hopelessly Devoted, And that song, I was like, I could go to the bathroom. I could go get a popcorn or something if I needed to, because they weren't the big jams. But those are the songs that
Yeah.
So you got to sing that song?
Yeah. And then you think about what a terrible message for kids. I'm sorry. Change yourself for the man of your dreams. Okay. Like wear spandex and your problems will go away.
Yeah.
So I didn't even, you know, in high school, whatever, we had so much fun with that. Then I went on to... school, wanted to be a news anchor because, like, growing up, I used to, like, if there was anything to, like, read around the house or, like wine bottles at the dinner table, I would read the back of them, like, describing them like a news anchor.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, like, a voice that I had. And so I have a news persona that I really, it was a performance. But I was like, oh, well, that could parlay very well into the news industry. Great. Like, I know what I'm going to do. I was so decided. And then 2 years in, I had a really great professor who told it like it was. And she was like, hey, if you're not willing to put everything you have in this, not make that much money, and really just devote your life into news reporting before you ever go on air.
And God forbid you ever work for Roger Ailes.
Who's that?
It's the Fox News guy that had to resign.
Well, exactly. God forbid for that. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, change of course. but very happy and fortunate that I did. You know, to graduate in 4 years, I was just looking at, because there was like this like tuition rebate that what's his name, Rick Perry, that I say with such enthusiasm, had in place. It was like, if you graduate in 4 years, you get like $1,000 back on your tuition. So I just that was my plan. And I switched to communications, and the communications program at UNT was like out of this world. It wasn't typical like PR mass comm kind of stuff, mass communications.
Yeah.
It was more kind of separating to three tiers of like rhetorical studies, organizational studies, or performance studies. So it was communication through performance and rhetoric that I like, actually more organizational that I focused on, because you just chose kind of what your, yeah, what your focus was going to be. So I got to do a lot of weird like performance art and like communication through performance.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it was phenomenal. Yeah. There was like cool festivals that we would go do with other colleges, and like a lot of just thoughtful pieces that were very like provocative in language and message that weren't just typical stage plays or like Grease or something like that.
Right,
so it kind of like broadened my horizon of like, oh, cool. That could be a platform.
Not that there's anything wrong with Grease.
Not that there's anything wrong.
There are worse things you could do.
They go with a boy. Or two. We could go into it. I'll friggin' sing the whole musical.
You're going to get on something with, I could stay home every night.
Yeah. But in that time of college, I was an RA. Back to why music happened.
Yeah.
I was an RA.
Oh, yeah.
At the music dorm, and it was wonderful, and I was so inspired, I think, and I started, you know, enjoying singing, obviously, having come off of doing, like, musicals and stuff, and then, yeah, wanted to accompany myself. So really, learning an instrument was more out of, like, vocal accompaniment,
right,
which I guess is typical for stringed instruments, maybe, or at least stuff like that, and I tried guitar, was trying to self-teach, and just... the progress was so slow, and a friend of mine had a ukulele, and so I just picked it up. I was like, four strings, this is great. So really, if anything, I stuck with ukulele, maybe started with ukulele out of laziness, but then a love grew from that.
A love.
Here I am. Yeah.
Did you ever study under anyone, or how did you learn all those chords? Because you know some expensive chords.
Yeah, no, just looking at chords online. And
yeah,
like,
I guess you can do that.
Yeah, yeah. And then once,
that's how I did it.
There you go. I had friends who were obviously a lot more musically inclined than I was to kind of explain, you know, a little bit of the, I guess, specificities of chords.
Yes.
And why they are. But yeah, I guess my last year in college, though, I did join a contemporary a cappella group. So that was
what?
A highlight.
Okay. All I know about that is like Pitch Perfect.
And that's all you need to know.
Is that what it's like?
No, it kind of is. It really is. And they even in that movie, they go to a performance or a competition,
yeah,
that we like went to, that we like drove 15 hours in like snow to like Atlanta, Georgia. Snow. I don't know why. It was actually like so weird, like snowpocalypse time of, it was like 2010 maybe.
Oh yeah, snowpocalypse.
Yeah, there was snowpocalypse around then in the South. And yeah, the ICCA, it's like intercollegiate.
What song did you perform? God, I wish I could see that right now. Do you have video of that?
There are videos.
There are? Oh, I'm sure they're online. That's in the time of YouTube already.
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
How great.
Long time ago.
What was the name of your group? Did it have a...
Yes, the UNT Green Tones. And they're still around today, and they're
Green
killing
Tones.
It. Yeah, Green Tones.
Yeah.
And they were joined by... started by two awesome guys, Trent and Brian, and they are off doing their own thing and living their lives. But I was so lucky to like be a part of that group. Like I came in with the least musical experience, and you know, had auditions and stuff and made it, and it was like truly one of the, I wish I had joined it earlier because I only had a year before I graduated.
How fun though.
It
what
was so fun.
What song did you do in the competition? Like, do you remember?
Yeah, we did Jason Mraz. Is it Colby Calais?
Yeah.
Like, Lucky I'm in Love. No. It's like, Lucky I'm in Love with My Best Friend. Lucky to have been.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. Lucky is the song. Lucky
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Lucky Jason Mraz.
And there were. There were other performances we got to do. Like, we did a wedding in Bass Concert Hall of Fort Worth.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, on, like, in one of the little Juliets on the side. And while the, I got to sing the bride down the aisle singing Make You Feel My Love with, like, an a cappella, you know, chorus. Like, it was pretty cool. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I'm so thankful for that. And I think it, it allowed me to gain a little bit of, like, a little bit of music theory. I mean, you know, and just being better at harmonizing and then beatboxing. So that.
Can you really beatbox?
I am.
Can you just throw just a little something to promote?
Oh, God.
For the listeners of the show. It's a lot of people listening. They're going to want to know what's
here
happening
we go.
Here.
Okay. I'm just going to stop there.
Dude, you're awesome.
No, I'm not.
I can't do that. Will you teach me how? Is it you got to learn how?
Boots and Cats. That's your first step into Boots and Cats. There you go.
Boots and Cats.
And then you get used to that. I recommend doing it while you're driving.
Okay.
For hours on end. You will. I honestly, like, started to forget that I was beatboxing. Like, I would just be in a group and maybe I wasn't talking or something, or like things got silent and I would just like start beatboxing. So bear that in mind, because okay. It can get weird and embarrassing. But I did Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats. And then you, I can't believe you're doing this. The beep and this portion of the show,
I really
is the,
like you.
Beatbox.
You're so cool.
No, oh,
you
thank
are.
You.
I mean, because you're a nerd, but
because I'm a nerd. Yeah. Nerds are very cool.
Nerds are very cool.
Yeah, because
it's okay.
There's nothing wrong with being yourself.
No,
and that's something I think nerds embrace.
Yeah, it took the internet to really let people find each other. And then find out that there's a bazillions.
That's a great point.
And then boom, Chris Hardwick is a guy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a great point.
Yeah.
The internet has its highs and lows for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we're not as lonely anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? If you're real into something to a point where you annoy the people around you, there's a place where you can find other people.
Yeah.
That annoyed the people around them with their excitement and knowledge of things.
Yeah.
Like Westworld.
Oh, there you go. Westworld. Or, I mean, and it's unfortunate because on the other spectrum of that, like, I think it's an incredible outlet to allow people to have a voice and, you know, to be prolific in their own right and have a following. But the danger of that is, you know, like this whole like fake news that's going around, right? I mean, there's like literally state officials that have been reposting fake news stories throughout the election.
Yeah.
And that, like, you have a voice. Like, what are you doing? You know, and all of us do it. Like, oh, share. Especially when it's like an outlet that we're used to. NPR, like, yeah, CNN. Like, I'm not worried about those not being researched. But geez, when you just, it's clickbait.
You don't even know, yeah.
Headline reading
generation
is kind of what it's turning into. So I hope that, I don't know. I think a lot of that stuff
aren't
is
you glad you
to
didn't
light.
Get into the news.
Yeah.
It's a drag out there, man.
That's hard. It really is because I'm.
So when you finished college and after you finished that, what did you do? You moved back to Austin?
Oh, fun. I didn't move to Austin, no.
Oh, you moved to Florida.
I moved to Florida.
I forgot about that.
For
you got to tell
no
me about this. It's so weird.
Reason. It was weird, but it was great. One of my best friends actually had gotten a job out there at Disney World. So I'm graduating. He calls me up, like, what are you doing when you graduate? I'm like, I have no plans. I guess going back home. He's like, come to Florida. Live with me. I'll help you out with, like, your first month. Like, we'll make it work. Don't even worry about finances. I know you're going to find something out here. And at that point, I had nothing really in mind of, like, what I wanted to do. Obviously, I scrapped the news anchor, you know, plan. And
there's not really, like, a world for a cappella groups after college.
No. Okay. I mean, coaches and, like, teaching. No. But that wasn't ever really a plan or, like, kind of field I wanted to go into. So I went out there, did some auditions for stuff, you know, like being a character or whatever. Didn't end
oh, really?
Up working out. So I got a job at the Olive Garden.
Ooh.
Right next to Disney
now
property.
That is sweet.
Oh, the sweetest of jobs. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, honestly, really cool things did happen out in Florida. While I was out there, obviously I was like, oh, I'm in a new place. I was starting to write, you know, more music, starting to kind of gain my voice. And because granted, I didn't really start playing or writing music till I was 19 or 20. So I feel like I was a bit of a late bloomer, mm-hmm. where I didn't really know necessarily like what was me or what was just my inspirations, kind of a conglomerate of them.
Right.
But while I was out there, I started uploading stuff to Reverb Nation and all, you know, random sites. And a man named Joe Rodriguez reached out to me and he was like, hey, I really dig your stuff. You know, I produce in town and I'd never get to work on kind of stuff that's more up my alley. Let's maybe work together and like maybe lay down some stuff. Yeah. That's pretty much what happened in my mind. And then we meet up. He is the guitarist for the Flock of Seagulls.
But like the guy from the time, like,
he's been,
I walk along the avenue.
He's from that been era? Playing with them for 13 years. So
okay,
no,
so no, not he's era. Not that guy.
But he's the current okay. touring guy.
Hey, there's nothing.
And he's phenomenal.
Not downing him.
Yeah.
No, he's probably better than the original guy.
Clarify. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, he's an audiophile rather.
Uh-huh.
Just great ear for music and stuff. So he was like instrumental in, you know, kind of picking up my confidence of like, hey, yeah, you can go for it and put your stuff out there and let's record. And so we did record, and I released my first like single, and it's a very just like sugary pop song that is.
Is that available somewhere?
It is available. Yeah. It's called What Love Should Be. It's actually the song I closed with when
that was a really good song.
Thank you. I really love it. It was the fourth song I ever wrote, and it's a keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is on there, and it's like full production, and we just did it in his home studio, and he did, you know, the backing instrumentals and, you know, some kind of like synthesizer stuff. So that was the beginning of, you know, recording, I guess. But then my lease was going up. The friend that I'd moved out there with moved away.
Oh, really?
He got an awesome gig, and he's still, I'm actually going to be his maid of honor in his wedding next year.
That's
but
nice.
Yeah, so no hard feelings for him ditching me in Orlando. But he got a cool gig doing some film stuff, and my lease was coming up, and I was like, you know, I really miss Austin. And I never got to live in Austin as an adult. I was, you know, middle school, high school, and then I left. And during college, I came down. Alamo Drafthouse was, like, still my longest running, like, job I had ever had because I worked there seasonally. So, yeah, I had a lot of friends that were just like, come home. And so I did. And yeah, and then since then, gosh, that was in 2012, I think, 2012, that I moved back to Austin, like, full-time.
Wow.
And I've been here since.
And then, so you started playing around then?
And yeah.
Kind of getting your thing?
Yeah, I started doing some, like, open mics.
Yeah.
And then working at the Alamo, we started a band. And so I was in a band, we were called the Absolutelys. And we were absolutely...
What did you play? Did you write your own songs or what?
We did, yeah. Okay. It was a mixture. My buddy, old friend Adam Gladue, and I, he is a really great songwriter and musician. And so he had songs, I had songs, and we just kind of mashed them up. So it was like a five piece, but I think just, I don't know, everyone having different, like, what's it called? Yeah, schedules.
Life things.
Yeah. Yeah. All the life things were happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just kind of like dissipated after some time. And then I did kind of like a break off with the drummer and his girlfriend. We did a little trio called the Upsy Daisies. And that was real cute. And that was fun. And we'd play a lot of like little, you know, coffee shop stuff, play like a wedding or two. And then they moved out to LA. And I just needed to kind of like focus on myself and just kind of like find, I think moving back to Austin, there was a little bit of a weird transitionary period where I just wasn't really like, I don't know, I was like still finding myself, as we are ought to do in our 20s.
Yeah, of course.
And throughout our whole lives, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, I took some time of just like doing me, and then gosh, yeah, the last couple of years been just kind of doing the whole singer-songwriter thing, which has been real fun. And then gaining the confidence to be like, oh, when someone says, hey, I'll play with you, I should take that at face value and not just them being friendly, but like, oh, okay, well, let's do a band thing, I guess. And I was just always very like, I don't know, I felt undeserving of it. I was like, well, I don't deserve having, right. you know,
people. You're really talented, man.
Thank you.
And you really, I mean, that room was really quiet when you were playing for being a bar. Like doing that, a ukulele by yourself in a big room at a bar. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time and I've done a lot of solo shit and there's just stuff that like gives me anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gig gives me anxiety. Like I thought of it or like, oh. Yeah, and it's tough to sing over the people and you never want to be like, hey, shut the fuck up, man. Can't you see I'm doing this thing?
You didn't hear me say that? Because I didn't.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
No. I've seen people do it and I tried it once.
Woof, how'd that go?
It did not go well.
Yikes.
There was a guy that was really going to beat me up. That thank God I have diplomacy skills.
That's so sad.
That, what was sad that I said it, like there was 8 people there. Like the, if the guy wanted to talk to his girlfriend, he should be able to.
I guess, sure. But you should also have respect for.
I was also, I think I was like 21 or something. Like,
well, feisty, but you learned
like,
young.
Hey, man.
You yeah.
Know? Anyway, that you held that room and. You did it very well. So wait. So when you, how did you get involved in New Movement Theater?
Oh yeah. Okay. So, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, 2014. I don't know. I was working with a friend of mine, Aaron, and we were working at a startup in town. And we were clearly the weirdest people that were on our sales team. So he and I just like, you know, had a lot of just banter back and forth. And then I found out that he did improv and comedy. And so, you know, I just asked more about it and saw that they had classes coming up. So I signed up for their level one class. They have 5 classes that you go through. Mm-hmm. So I just stuck with it. And I made literally some of my best friends, one of which I'm going to London and France with in this coming week. So, yeah. And then I graduated March 2015. So it's been a bit over, yeah, like a year and a half. And, you know, since then I've, you know, either you stay involved or you don't. But I really believe that improv, I mean, not necessarily just improv, but just the classes themselves are so beneficial to anybody anywhere, because there were people in the first class, they ask, you know, why are you here? What are you doing? And for me, I was like, well, I love theater. So that was a bit more, you know, obvious. But some people was like, I am about to start teaching for the first time and I really hate public speaking and I don't want to be uncomfortable. And like, I want to go into stand-up comedy, but I have really bad stage fright, or I want to do this and this and that. And so it's really an avenue to like completely just try and break down your guard and your barriers, and you're like in a room with consenting adults saying weird things and having each other's back no matter what. So that, like, you know, like it's invaluable, and I've held on to that. And so since then, yeah, just been in different shows here and there, and then got asked to be in the main cast of the flagship show there, which is the Megaphone show we were talking about a little earlier. And it's been wonderful. That's definitely like, yeah, kind of one of the highlights.
Does that mess with your gig thing? Saturday night, 10:30, that's the time when someone's playing.
Right? You know, it would be, but if anything else, I just play Fridays and Thursdays, or I play Saturday nights. I can play at like 8 or 9 and make it to the theater by 10:30. Our show's at 10:30.
What is the show? Is it like an ASCAT kind of thing where you get suggestions and do it? Yeah.
In a way, we don't get suggestions, but we get a storyteller.
Uh-huh.
So we get a local movie shaker about town. Maybe
I would love to do
later.
That.
Yeah. That would be great.
I just invited you. You didn't even do it. You just kind of looked towards me and I'm like, sure. Yeah, man, I'll do it. No problem.
Thanks for asking.
What time?
Yeah. So you'll be there next week. Cool. Yeah, but we get a local, you know, storyteller, not necessarily a storyteller, but someone who's got, you know, stuff going on that can have some stories for us.
I've done that.
You have?
Huh?
Told stories?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I believe it.
No. I mean, at a place with the microphone in front of people.
Perfect. Yeah. It's a very intimate room. Yeah. So Yeah, basically they'll tell a story and then we do a bit of, you know, kind of at the top, about 15 minutes of improv, loosely, you know, inspired by those stories. Yeah, a lot of like very fast paced kind of, you know, witty stuff of little details that we remember. And then, you know, we invite them to come back and tell two other stories in between both of those stories. And by the end, all of the improv like starts to kind of like meld. And so we'll take things from different stories and details that they've mentioned and have a ton of fun. It's so much fun. Yeah.
That seems really fun.
It's like an adult playground, you know, like play. Gosh, who was I talking about this with? But like play is so important for kids growing up, your recess. I mean, it's like vital to growing and learning, right? When we forget about that when we're adults, I mean, being artists, luckily, you know, playing music, I guess, is like a similar vein, but that's what I feel like it is.
You're playing and just,
And not giving any fucks.
Yeah, no fucks.
No fucks allowed.
Yeah. Is there a lot of sex that goes on with those improv groups?
No, that is a funny question. Yes, but
I can imagine.
I've always...
You're young, fiery, and artsy, and passionate, and like...
What's interesting, though, is they say the same thing about band kids and theater kids in high school, right?
Oh, really?
It's like, oh, they're raucous and promiscuous. Like, that's the place that, you know, crazy things happen is a theater party. I was always on the outside of that reality. And I feel that way kind of in the comedy incestuous, like, dating pool. Some people are, like, destined to be together and met each other that way, which is wonderful. But yeah, I mean, you're with these people all the time.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't that happen? Yeah, but I've always been an outsider in that. I don't know. So there must be something about me, but like, it's funny that that's followed me from high school.
I have a friend that told me that same sort of sentiment, like, I've never messed around with the people at work. And I said, oh, you don't shit where you eat? And he goes, no, I don't fuck where I work.
No, literally.
I thought that was really funny.
That's great.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I would love to go to one of those shows at least and see it. I play so much, though, on the weekends.
Yeah, I know. You're like traveling and stuff, right?
Sometimes.
Well, there's shows 7 days a week at the New Movement. And honestly, around town, you got Cold Town Theater, the Hideout Theater, the Institution. There are shows literally Monday through Sunday. You can always find improv and sketch going on.
That's true. Where do you go for comedy? Who are your what shows do you go to that are cool?
Because
I like the short shows, early in the week shows where people are working stuff
out, way
more than established ideas.
Oh, well, then you'd love probably Tuesday nights. I believe they're still Tuesdays. I know they, yeah. Rob Gagnon, he's actually a stand-up comedian in town who's great, but he's been hosting the show for a while. It's called Sandbox.
Uh-huh.
And that is like experimental comedy, totally at its finest. This is Hand Bomb, which is two amazing improvisers, Vanessa Gonzalez and Michael Folk, also stand-up comedians who dabble in the improv
arts.
Who are phenomenal.
Yeah.
A Good Fight on Wednesday nights is a really fun show.
This is all at New Movement?
This is all at New Movement.
Seven nights a week, they're all going... Yeah.
Yeah. But there are other shows at other theaters that I could, like... Yeah, you can find. But obviously, since I do more
stuff... The Hideout's a cool theater.
The Hideout's great. Yeah. And it's so cool because each theater has its own... I mean, Hideout shows are Hideout shows and New Movement shows are New Movement shows. And I love that there's, like, definitely...
Different tones to differentiate.
I just saw actually, I think, I don't know when this airs, but it was running through December, is Peter Pan improvised. So yeah, I had a friend in that and it was super fun. And yeah, it was
great. Awesome.
More theatrical for sure.
Is there a way, like, I guess you just go to the New Movement thing? Because you think about like
website,
those.
Yeah.
.org, is it .org? Or is it a com?
It's a com. It's a com. Yeah. Maybe.
What's your day job? You sell?
Yeah, I work for Favor Delivery, which is...
Oh, you drive for... Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
well,
right.
Yeah, I
no,
do...
No, but you work for
the
Favor.
Headquarters, yeah. So I do sales for that. So I've been doing, like, the sales, like, startup game for almost 4 years now with different companies, and it's been fun. I like talking to people, and I'm definitely, like... I'm a nerd, but I'm also geek because I like, technology.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. But
I mean, it's not going anywhere.
I think it
anywhere.
Works out yeah. in my favor for,
wait,
no
you,
pun intended.
But you said you didn't computer well. Oh, no, that was Carson that? McCone.
Ah, oof.
Boy.
Mixing up your mixing hosts, up my, your guests.
Well, just, you know, a couple in a day, sometimes it's confusing.
Popular guy. Yeah. I get it.
No, I'm not a popular guy. I just did two in today.
I just talk to people through microphones, okay?
Yeah. Look, sometimes you're talking to someone and you're like, oh, no, she did say. But she was sitting in the same place you were, and I was wearing this shirt.
No worries.
So, people can find your self-titled debut EP, which came out in January, Ariel Leggett.
Yes, Ariel.
Ariel Leggett. Yeah. Sorry, see?
But
I got to learn
okay.
all that stuff right. Ariel Leggett.
That's fine.
And this, I think this is going to come out on Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
1 week from tomorrow. This 4-song EP recorded at The Orb, produced by Matt Mell, produced, engineered, mixed, and mastered by Matt Mell. He had a lot of work that day.
Matt Mell, yeah. He knocked it out of the park. We were in and out of there, and yeah, I couldn't have been happier with that.
Yeah.
And the guys on the record, too. Jordan yeah. Burchill, Alex Brown, Anthony Cassaro.
Fantastic band. And yeah. they play with you live sometimes.
They do, yeah.
When you there's nothing on the list.
Well, that was true right before I got here.
Okay.
But I've got something really fun going on, kind of mashing up my two worlds of comedy and
music.
Is Mac Blake is having a Cap City Christmas special.
I love
Mac. Yeah, man. Mac is great. And we finally got to meet each other a couple weeks back. And he's having a Christmas special at the Cap City Comedy Club, I think December 20th to the 23rd. And I believe I'm playing the night of the 23rd. It's going to be a variety show, kind of being Crosby-esque. And I'll be playing some Christmas songs.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
On December 23rd, I will be in Houston that night. Oh. That's the night we go to my grandma's house and spend the night, me and the cousins.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'm almost 50, and I still do that.
Damn. I wouldn't have guessed it.
You wouldn't have?
I wouldn't have. Well, I mean, we
I mean,
did
not
talk
almost
about
50,
you being
I'm 48.
High... Yeah. Well, I'd say, yeah.
I just turned 48.
You're nearing. I don't know
Once
if that
you get
sounds
up here,
better.
Yeah, it's all terrible. Pushing 50 is what my cousin Megan likes to say.
You're getting
it's really
wiser,
awful.
You know? It's great.
You're right. I am.
You are.
Is there anything that I'm missing? I like you, Ariel.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I like you too, Johnny.
You're very cool. You are very impressive to watch. And your music is really good. You have a very unique and beautiful voice.
Thank you.
And great delivery.
I appreciate
I
that
I would like to
so
see
much.
You improvise and be funny, because I
thank
think that
you.
that would also probably be good.
Every
right?
Saturday night, 10:30, we have fun.
I won't be here. Isn't Christmas Eve on a Saturday this time?
It is. Yeah, we won't have a show that night.
No. and then New Year's Eve is the next Saturday.
It is.
And I'm
How
playing
great
again
is that?
In Houston. Are you doing a New Year's Eve?
Nice.
You do New Year's Eve
personally,
improv?
I'm not. We're not doing a New Year's Eve improv. I don't think. I should look into that.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing a New Year's Eve show or anything. My year has been kind of a whirlwind and like one thing after the other. So I'm looking forward to December being a nice, like calm ending to 2016. Cause Lord knows.
You're going for 2 weeks in Europe.
Couldn't end fast enough. Yeah, I'm going for a year and a half, a week and a half. I wish, yeah. That would be great. But yeah, a week and a half, first 5 days in London, second 5 days in France.
What part of France?
The South, where my family is.
Oh,
so I'm
nice.
Staying with my grandma, my cousins and my aunt. My grandpa.
Wouldn't it be funny if I said, okay, I'll be there. When is it? Next week?
And I'll be like, that's weird.
No, totally
cool.
weird. But I invite myself to everything. That
right.
You,
that I.
If you just look my way while you're talking about something,
like,
I'll believe that's an invitation. well, thank you for coming. I think everyone needs to go to ariellaggett.com. Get this album. You can get it on Bandcamp. You can probably find it on iTunes.
Spotify.
Yay. How do you listen to music? What do you listen to?
Oh, man.
Real quick before we go. What are you listening to?
I love like psychedelic rock, like garage rock. I mean, Tame Impala is probably my favorite
really?
Band.
I
yeah.
saw you do a cover of them. That was a great version
oh,
of that song too, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, God. Yeah, they're so great. I also love like oldies. I grew up on the oldies. I also grew up on like disco and funk. So really, if I could listen to Earth, Wind & Fire all day, I wouldn't be mad. I really enjoy currently Angel Olsen. She's a really,
really good.
Great,
I
yeah,
just came across her through like All Songs Considered or something.
Yeah, yeah.
A
she's been,
months ago.
She's kind of blowing up a little bit. She's playing at Mohawk in February, so
really?
That'll be fun. But yeah, I love Courtney Barnett.
Love
you know,
Courtney
as far as
Barnett.
Like New York, really much, pretty much anybody out of Australia. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, have you heard Fever High?
No,
I really like them. They sound like Bananarama, like just
okay.
like Bananarama.
I'm gonna
so
look
it's into kind
them.
Of fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah,
thank you.
Also, I heard a song the other night on my way to my gig that really was enjoyable to listen to. And I didn't realize it was Soft Cell who sing Tainted Love. But they have a song called Sex Dwarf, which
That's
is awesome.
Name you
yeah.
don't forget.
It really, it sounds like a song that like Andy Samberg wrote, like with The Lonely Island, but it's not. It's a real
not?
Song sung by a band.
Awesome. I'm yeah. so glad you just brought up Lonely Island because yesterday I had the chance to introduce the Natalie Portman rap to my roommate for the first time. If you
never
haven't,
heard it.
Oh my God.
Dude,
please.
I bought that record the day it came out.
Natalie yeah. Portman rap, dude. That's where it is.
Have
at.
They put out a second record, right?
Yeah, they did. I don't think it. Well, and it was coupled with that movie, no? Or maybe I'm
that
thinking,
movie's really good.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't see it.
I watched all the documentaries that it's based on.
Okay, nice.
I watch all music documentaries.
Perfect.
And like biopics.
So like the Bieber one.
It's heavily yeah. based on. I love the Bieber.
I need to look at it.
Did you at all? Did you? You were of the age. Maybe you could have gotten into some Bieber. No.
No. No. No. Spice Girls.
Spice
Girls.
Oh yeah.
And NSYNC.
Will you sing this? Ready?
Oh man, yeah. Does it tell you what you want? What you really, really want?
Yeah. Was I playing it wrong?
It was a different key, but yeah, no.
No, it's in the same key. That's
was
the
it
key.
Really the key?
Yeah.
Tell me what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you really, really want. I wanna, I wanna, I wanna, I wanna, wanna, bitty, 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 wanna sing and say, ah, be my lover. You gotta get with my friends.
Make
it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is. Here's a story from A to B. You want to get with me? No, we'll stop. Oh, wow. I'm impressed that I remembered that. Thank you.
That was really fun.
That was fun.
God, if I knew the chords to There Are Worse Things I Could
Oh,
Do.
Oh, damn. Yeah, this would be a long podcast.
Oh, but it would be so good.
Well,
do you play
time.
That song live
I
in
don't.
Your set?
Karaoke, yeah. But I love
if
karaoke.
If you ever go karaokeing for some reason and need a guy that loves to sing the theme from Flashdance, what a feeling.
Okay, all right.
I will go just because I want to hear you sing There Are Worse
Egos.
Things I Could Do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Egos. Yeah. You know what? I judged a karaoke thing once there.
Really?
Oh,
how
I
fun
did.
Is that?
It was real fun. It was real weird, though, because there's a world of karaoke that has like a hierarchy and like
oh yeah
it's like it's a real place it's
there
not
is.
It's not
you're right
like maybe you and I would have fun doing it
right but it's a
these
show.
People like it's a gig
right no yeah. yeah they do the highball sometimes too like the competitions but the highball karaoke rooms are so badass they're great
yeah they're great
yeah
you still I guess you don't do anything with the Alamo. You got a real job.
No,
what are you, selling
got a
tickets?
Real job. Yeah. Selling tickets yeah. for the Alamo is my real job. No, I was a server, yeah, okay. when I was at the Alamo. But I've got a lot of friends that still work there, which is great.
I love the Alamo.
It's the best. I was there yesterday.
A guy that was I was in bands with from high school in Miami all the way to bands here in 1994 that broke up. He is Richard Weiss, the architect responsible for the Alamo Draft
wow,
Houses. Yeah.
Cool.
Because when he lived in Houston, he went to Rice with Tim and Carrie.
Oh, no lead. Kidding. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Small world.
It's a small world,
That's
and I
awesome.
Wouldn't want to paint it.
And they are expanding. It's awesome to see.
It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a great theater, and it's a great theater experience. This,
yeah.
This episode was brought to you by the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah. please give us free tickets. Okay.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This was super fun.
Have fun in Europe.
Thank you.
And were you going to read that copy?
I was. I was like, is this for me?
No, go ahead and read it.
Hey, gang, are you a musician in Austin and you're thinking about can't read your handwriting or you're currently touring and want to make those another handwriting problem better? I have a panel for you. goes on from there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I look forward to hearing more music from you.
Life can't be happy without all the bad.
Arielle Legette, what a great time talking to her, man. She's fantastic. I'm glad that I saw her that night when I went to go see Jamie Harris. Just happened upon her, really enjoyed it. Her music takes me to a place, and I really enjoy whatever place that is it takes me. So thank you, Arielle. Get out there and check her out, Arielle Legette. You can find her self-titled debut EP out there on the internet. Also, I hope she's having a good time in Europe, because that's where she is. Enjoy your time in Europe, Arielle, and have fun. And listen, to all the rest of you, while you're out there looking up Arielle Legette stuff on the internet, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, and now we are on TuneIn. We're on a bunch of other different ones, your Apple Podcast app, whatever it is. Look it up, subscribe, get into it, do it. If this is your first time to the show, there are hundreds of shows. You can go to howdidigethere.podbean.com, look on the right-hand column, and you will find that all of our episodes are easily accessible by month and year. Okay, show's been around for a long time, over 500 and something episodes. God bless it. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Have a great week, whatever it is that you're doing. Enjoy some more music from Arielle Legette's self-titled debut EP playing right now. Talk to you on Friday. Let's get down.
The waves are tolling at my heart, pulling me apart from everything I knew or thought. And the waves to be my only friend, forgetting how things end, forgetting to breathe in. If I did what I had before, if I'd only washed up shore, I'd still have more. And if I knew what I had to do to read the signs of caution by the seaside. Feels better on my skin, feels like things could begin. Funny how things end and start again. If I did what I had before, if I'd only washed up shore, I'd still have more. And if I knew I'd wash up shore.